Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Monday. It's draft week. Uni watches Paul Lucas. Remember, Sashi Brown said that they were looking to tweak some things with the uniforms, like the classic look, which I'm cool with as well. I mean, it becomes your identity. You own it. Like, the Broncos' new uniforms suck, even though they went back to kind of the Orange Crush and throwback days. I'm cool with the Jets' new uniforms, the Lions as well. But that being said, looks like there's going to be an alternate helmet in the equation without getting into too much detail, because I don't think that Paul Lucas or anyone else knows right now what that detail will be. Per my source, this is Paul Lucas, so go buy accordingly. It's going to be purple. But he can't remember for sure. Metallic gold face mask. And it's going to be the alternate logo. And Nolan, help me out here. The alternate logo is what? The bird head staring directly
straight
at the camera?
On, yeah. That's what I thought. Of course, the original wings on the shield.
Bee.
That's not a possibility anymore.
Litigation took that one away.
Right. That was always a cool logo. But I like the front on look too. Find a way. I don't know about the purple helmet, though. I think it probably look better on black, but wait to judge until we see the final product.
Correct. Before we go full on Mr. Blackwell, wait to see what it looks like. But for the first time in a while, the Ravens are going to tweak something with their helmet going back to 1999 or 98, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, let's get back to the football talk on the field potentially. And speaking of potential, here's Roquan Smith talking about second-year linebacker Trenton Simpson, who needs to elevate things, it seems.
Yeah, no, Simp, just been like even talking with him this offseason, even throughout last season. I know the type of respect he has for the game and for himself as well, and the way he's been busting his tail like all offseason. I think he'll be the best second-year linebacker in the league.
That's a lot of praise from Roquan, and he had to earn that from Roquan, whether it be in the meeting rooms, whether it be, you know, all the extra things that he does. And if I was a young kid coming in like that, Bob, you know, out of Clemson, and I played a lot of different positions, and I'm going to play linebacker, I'd be asking Roquan and Patrick Queen at that time a million questions all the time.
Now, keep in mind, simp can be a derogatory term for somebody's intelligence. Simpleton.
Yeah.
We know he's athletic as all get out. What's the football IQ like right now, comparing it to Patrick Queen, who's now in Pittsburgh?
Well, this simpleton. Past year, I think it was kind of simpleton. You know, simp. because I thought all along at training camp and stuff, I thought he was kind of lost in space. And I just think that it was much too fast for him at that time. And things were happening so fast. And like I said before, he played a lot of different positions. So now he's just zeroed in at one spot. So he can just learn one spot. And throughout the whole year, you know, he's just learning one spot and how to do it. And he's seems like, you know, from what Roquan's saying, that he's busting his butt and he's working his butt off to try to be the best he can be. So, you know, the thing is, I did, you know, Patrick Queen, I guess he said that, you know, they had to throw me right in, you know, whereas he gets to kind of learn. Well, hell, you're a first round pick, better be thrown right in. You know, that's the thing. He's a third round pick, late third round pick, I think. So, yeah, so he's getting a chance to learn. He would have been no way in hell he could have played early on, because it would have been not good. And he started to get good on teams towards the end of the year. And I've always said that when a guy starts to get good on teams, that's when he's ready to make the next jump. And he got to play Pittsburgh, and he made some plays. And Mike McDonald was extremely smart, or Zach Orr, whoever it was, just to let him run blitz, pass blitz, just take the thinking out of the game for him. And now he's got more of a chance, you know, to get more comfortable and get more confidence and continue to learn through the OTAs and the mini camps and stuff with Roquan standing right next to you.
Now, speaking of Patrick Queen, he's going off to Pittsburgh to join the Steelers, as, you know, Roquan Smith helped Patrick Queen make a lot of money, that's for sure. And here's Roquan talking about his former running mate now becoming a big rival.
It's not weird at all. You know, life happens. So, and he's somewhere else right now. I got to tear his picture down in the linebacker room, you know. So we have, like, linebackers all over the wall. So I need to probably make a video of me, like, you know, maybe punching it and, like, or something like that. I'm wishing him all the best, and it'll be good to see him twice a year. He's still my guy, but, you know, it's when war is war, that's what it is.
Now he goes to Pittsburgh, where the expectations are kind of like they were for him when he got drafted by the Ravens.
Yeah.
You're not being paid to be Robin.
No, he's being $14 million a year.
And they've had a problem for the most part, Vinny, at that spot ever since Ryan Shazier, unfortunately,
no
career
doubt.
Came to
No doubt about it, Bob. They've been hunting and searching for a guy. And I don't know if he's ready to be Batman, you know, be the Green Dot guy, be the guy who's making the calls, doing all that. I would just, I would think that just keep it simple. Just let him do what he does best, and don't ask him to don't ask him to be Roquan Smith.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Monday. Roquan Smith was asked about last week. Zach Orr, speaking of a guy who sadly career ended because of an injury, but Zach Orr, he's now the new DC. What's that mean?
Yeah, I think that comes with time, but I have the utmost respect for Z.O. and the way he run things. Fiery guy, very intense. Really matched my personality, but I think it matches the defensive personality as well. As well as the organization, like as being a Raven, I think what he embodies is exactly what you want in a coordinator. Very thankful for Mike and everything that he had done here. But the players, you know, life goes on. So at the end of the day, you know, wish all those guys the best who, you know, going on with their career. But don't anything change here. We're still the Ravens, and we're still going to get the job done.
Yeah, with the biggest thing is, you know, with Zach Orr, because, Bob, you look at the last couple coordinators, you know, Mike McDonald and Wink. I mean, they're as mild-mannered or as quiet on the sidelines as you can be. And I don't – I'll be anxious to see what he's like. Because when you're a coordinator, Bob, you can't be, you know, so emotional and stuff, because you got to be making the next call. And it's – so – I would think that his game day personality is going to change a little bit. He can't be that fiery type guy during when the defense is on the field. After, you know, I mean, when they come off and the offense is out there, you know, have at it, you know. Holler, scream, do whatever you want to be. But he's got to be calm, cool, collective during the game when he's calling the plays and stuff. for all the guys out there, because you don't want a guy who's like a maniac, you know, out there. You want a guy who, you know, you feel like, hey, he's totally under control.
And finally, Roquan Smith was asked last week. Ravens season ended a game short of the goal, the Super Bowl. Moving on from last year, Roquan.
Obviously, last season is last season. This season is a totally new year, and I think everyone is very excited about what all we have coming forward, and we know the potential that we have with this team. We've added pieces, and I'm sure throughout the draft and throughout the rest of the offseason, we'll add more pieces. I'll leave that to the people upstairs, but I'm definitely excited. I'm ready to get the year going, but there's a process, and I'm very respectful of that.
Yeah, they all should be excited. I mean, pretty much, you know, the head coach is back, and you got a great core is what they have. You have a great core of players, and you got the MVP of the league. You got a ton of Pro Bowlers on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, you got to feel good. And then let's see what pieces – you know, that that they add in there, and they'll fill them all up by the time September rolls around. And then let's see what kind of team that they're going to develop from now through training camp.
When we come back, AL East report, game in progress right now. As a matter of fact, Yankees taking on the A's. Looks like top one in the Bronx, and New York just got out of it after hosing an attempted base stealer at second base. But we'll look back at the weekend that was and look ahead to the Orioles and Angels tonight. Game one of a three-game set. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken at 6 o'clock. Coming up 1:30, Charlie Goldsmith's going to be joining us. Cincinnati Inquirer. How are the Bengals situated 3 days before the first round of the draft?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. AL East report on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. Let's look back at yesterday's division fun. Red Sox up in Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates. And once again, it was all about Boston getting that dub.
Swing, a little bloop off the end of the bat to left field. It's dropping fast. Is it going to drop? Yes, it is. Down that line. Both runners are going to score. Abreu is in. Wong is in. And Reese McGuire drops a little two-out RBI down that left field line off the end of the bat.
Red Sox radio, that was a pinch hit to Ribby blooper there. As Boston beat the Pirates 6-1 in doing so, sweep the three-game series at Pittsburgh. The Red Sox this year on the road, 10-3. They stink at Fenway Park where they're 3-7. But on the road, they're almost unbeatable. The Yankees taking on Tampa, division fun in the Bronx. And a former Red Sox gets a key hit for the Pinstripers there.
Breaking ball line, base hit for Dugo. Right center field, Rosario cuts it off. Two-run score. Torres to third, Alex Verdugo fired up. Pounds to chest back at the first base dugout.
Yankees Radio Network on the call. New York 5-4 final scores. They hold off Tampa. Yankees win that series 2-1. Out west, Toronto taking on the Padres and another former Red Sox with a big bat last night.
One out, nobody on. 1-2 to Bogarts. Bassett deals. Xander hits it in the air to deep left center. Varsho's going back. He's at the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go! Xander Bogarts is second of the year. And the Padres have tied it back up 2-2 here in the third.
Padres radio on the call. Final score eventually in San Diego's favor, 6-3. Xander Bogarts 2-for-4 with the homer and the two ribbies. The Blue Jays, however, do win the series 2-1. The Orioles beat Kansas City 5-0 yesterday behind Cole Irvin. Home runs from Colton Cowser and Jordan Westberg as they win that series 2-1 after losing the opener. Dean Kramer did not pitch poorly. Bullpen kind of imploded, which made that score a little bit more inflated than it should have been. But the Orioles bounced back nicely. 7 runs in the second on Saturday. Corbin Burnes picks up the win. His third of the year. Craig Kimbrell gets the save. 422 on the career for him. And then Cowser throws it in the fountain. And they got to go dig it out and then throw it in Rice to dry it off. But either way, the Orioles win. And win the series. Yankees and A's in action as we speak. Scoreless through 1 in the Bronx. Detroit is at Tampa tonight. 6:50 first pitch there. Toronto now goes to Kansas City, taking on the Royals at 7:40. And then the Orioles and Angels, 9:38. Boston off today. They're at Cleveland, taking on the Guardians for a series starting tomorrow night. For the Birds, they're 14-7, 6-3 on the road. Albert Suarez will make his second start after that brilliant performance last week against Minnesota. The Angels, 9-13, 2-4 at home. They've lost 4 in a row. Lefty Reed Detmers is on the hill. He's 3-0 with a 1.19 earned run average. Standings in the AL East as we sit on this Monday. Yankees 15-7 on the year. Half game up on the Orioles, 14-7. Boston's 2.5 out at 13-10. Toronto, 12-10, 3 back. And then Tampa bringing up the rear, 12-11, 3.5 off the pace. As we keep talking about, every team in the division above 500. Cleveland, surprising Indians. They've won 4 in a row. They are 16-6 on the year. They're 3 up on Kansas City. You got Detroit, 12-10, 4 off the pace. Minnesota, struggle city for them so far, 7-13. They're 8 back. And then the White Sox, they're really struggling. They've lost 3 in a row. They got swept again. They're 12.5 out right now, 3-18 on the year. Texas half game up on Seattle in the AL West. Angels are 2.5 back, losers 4 in a row, as we said. Oakland's actually ahead of Houston at this stage, all subject to change. In the National League, the Braves a game up on Philly. In the NL Central, Brewers 2 games up on the Cubs, and Milwaukee's won 4 in a row. And the Dodgers, they're a game up on San Diego out there in the NL West. Baltimore baseball tonight, 6 o'clock this evening. Me and Ryan Ripken were brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, getting you ready for this one. And then the Orioles come back home for the Oakland A's this weekend after they handle their business, hopefully, against the struggling Angels. When we come back, talk some NFL with Charlie Goldsmith, covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer. It's a team with Super Bowl dreams that were dashed when they lost their starting quarterback, Joe Burrow. They have changed things a little bit in the offseason. T. Higgins wants out because he wants a long-term deal. Is there a disgruntled player that could make things interesting for Cincinnati? And then it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, inside access coming up at 2. And as we said, Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Ron Ripken brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseballs and boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseballs and boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Six.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody, here on this Monday? Fun house trip coming up in a few minutes because we've neglected it. Because we know you're there and you're ready to hear from Nolan. Don't want to deny him his rock star fame that he has earned. Inside Access coming up at 2, and then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken getting you ready for the Orioles and Angels. 9:38 first pitch, but we'll be on 6-7. Lineups are usually out by the time we get off the air. And we'll get you ready as the Orioles look to win yet another series after taking 2 out of 3 from the Kansas City Royals. But the draft coming up Thursday night. First round of it anyway, and here to talk about a division rival. We've already talked about the Browns. We've talked about the Steelers. Now let's get to the team who could be the biggest threats of them all to the Ravens here in 2024. He's with the Cincinnati Inquirer. He's on the Maryland Sports Commission fan hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Charlie Goldsmith. Charlie, good afternoon. How you doing, man?
Doing well. How about you?
Hanging in there. And talk about the injury issues that the Bengals have right now. And outside, we know Joe Burrow, pretty significant. It happened the season ender here at M&T Bank Stadium back in November. But Sam Hubbard had some pretty significant serious surgery stuff. Others have been banged up. There have been some defections as well. It happens in the offseason. But health-wise, on draft week, how are some of the key contributors feeling and convalescing right now?
If Burrow and Hubbard, the only known injuries, Burrow progressing well, throwing, adjusted his off-season program to overall build up more strength and, you know, toughness. Not that he wasn't tough, but to be able to survive and withstand these hits that he's been taking. And then Hubbard had surgery in the off-season. He's progressing well as well and looks to be on a good pace for training camp. Aside from that, it's just some reserves who tore their ACLs last season.
T. Higgins, status there other than franchise tag, trade demands. We don't know how real they are, if they are, because I know Brandon Ayuk reports where he wanted out and the agent shot that down. But what about T. Higgins? How unhappy of a camper is he at this stage?
T. Higgins wants a new deal, and he's wanted one for 2 years, and the Bengals want to give T. a new deal. It's just clearly they have very different perspectives on the worth. You know, the difference between, say, the contract that A.J. Brown signed on one end and the contract that, say, Mike Williams signed with the Chargers a few years ago on the other end, there's a lot of wiggle room between those two numbers. Not that those were the exact numbers with T, but I get that's kind of a ballpark for these talks. I expect T to play for the Bengals this year. T even said he expects to play for the Bengals this year. The window to trade him really has already passed because you couldn't use the cap space that you'd opened up by trading him for a draft pick. So all indications are T will be on board for a run this season.
Now, what about, will he come in? He doesn't have to come in till what, the first week of the season? Will he be that guy?
It's a great question. So, very, very, really identical situation that Jesse Bates went through a couple years ago with the Bengals. Same agent, same stage of his career, pretty much the same tier of player. Jesse Bates showed up around 3 weeks into training camp, and if I were ballparking it, yeah, that would probably be the over-under at this point. He doesn't have to show up in week one. I'll stress this, though. I feel like I heard more concern about Bates overall than it seems to be with Higgins right now about how this is all going to unfold.
What the addition of Geno Stone, what does that do for the Bengals?
Well, you know, turn on the Ravens-Bengals tape from Thursday Night Football last year and watch how many times safeties were out of position or weren't able to make a play. Look how often, you know, Lamar Jackson shredded them with vertical throws in that game. They had young safeties whose instincts and awareness and IQ weren't translating into splash plays and were leading to a lot of explosive plays for the other side. How do you fix that if you're the Bengals? How about you sign the safety who had the most impressive interception against you that you saw all year from 2023? That was what Geno Stone did to Joe Burrow in week two, where he kind of outsmarted him, and no one outsmarts Joe Burrow. So he gives them a very trustworthy like turnover creating savvy safety.
Now, with the addition of Gesicki, does that take away from maybe drafting a tight end early?
If Brock Bowers is there, like, I have Brock Bowers fourth or fifth on my Bengals specific board. The Bengals would look at a talent like that if the board shook out a certain way. He's certainly in that mix because of his talent. But when you look at how good the offensive tackle class is and then how good Byron Murphy is, that does, in my mind, in my estimation and guess, probably make Bowers a little lower there. I think they'll draft a tight end somewhere. Gesicki, though, they're excited about him. They haven't had a tight end like him. They loved Hayden Hurst, but Hurst wasn't a vertical down-the-field stretcher and contested catch winner in the way that Mike Gesicki was, and Gesicki's also better with the ball in his hands. So for those reasons, the Bengals are kind of excited where they're at the tight end position.
Now, you know, Bob Ainey, he blocks better than Gesicki.
Yeah.
And the Bengals know
I'm retired, though, Mike, Charlie. Sorry about that.
Mike Gesicki will be replacing Tyler Boyd more than he'll be replacing that Hayden Hurst, C.J. Uzomah role. He's kind of playing a new position for them.
Okay, let's if the draft, if it played out perfectly for the Bengals, who would the pick be?
I'll say J.C. Latham from Alabama. The Bengals over the last couple of years have completely changed their scheme from an offensive line perspective. They now have really the biggest tackle duo in football with Trent and Orlando Brown. Trent's on a one-year deal. They want to keep that rolling. And Latham's ability to execute a gap scheme, his ability to anchor for a couple seconds because Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball so quickly and the receivers win so quickly, they prioritize size up front. Latham's grit, power, strength, anchor, as good as you'll get from a right tackle. And they I do think they really like J.C. Latham as well. The question is, does he go higher? But that's a good question.
Now, if he were to – who's the next tackle? Who's your next tackle after Latham? Because I loved Latham, too. And he may – he like you said, I think he could maybe go to Jets or somebody like that, too.
My projection would be that Ault would be off the board. Fashanu would be off the board. Latham, I think, could go higher. Up next, and this might be a little against consensus, but I've loved everything I've seen from Amarius Mims. The one question is he's only played in 8 games.
Right.
But watch the 8 games and what he's doing at that level. What he did in the college football playoff, that mitigates that concern for me. I think Mims will be the best pass-protecting right tackle in this class. He also checks all the, size, frame points that I was just talking about for the Bengals. So for those reasons, I think he'd be a no-brainer fit.
Now, other than, your first-round pick, what else do the Bengals need? What other needs you got?
Well, like I said, they are looking at Mike Gesicki replacing Tyler Boyd, but they certainly need another receiver in the mix as well who can play the slot. You look at round two and round three options, a Roman Wilson, a Jalen Polk, a Jalen McMillan, some quality options there, Ricky Pearsall. You look at defensive tackle, they didn't replace DJ Reader with a run stopper. They replaced him with a pass rusher. Their run defense up the middle is a bit of a concern. So they've hosted on visits basically every potential nose tackle in this class. And then they need a fourth corner as well. They could move Dax Hill to corner. Their first-round pick from 2 years ago could make that position change. He can do it. He has practiced there. But I think ideally you're able to fill that with another natural corner.
Now, how many picks do the Bengals have totally in this draft?
I believe 10. It's 7 plus an extra third, an extra 6, and an extra 7.
Now, after the draft's over, do they use all 10? I mean, normally when you have a good team like that, you don't need – not that many guys can make your team.
The Bengals do technically have 10 spaces that, a draft pick could make the team because they are very, very thin on the interior of the offensive line and at defensive tackle from a depth perspective, like the guys who will be inactive on game day at those positions. They don't really have those guys on the roster right now. But typically the Bengals' path is, they never trade up in the first round, but second, third, fourth, that's kind of a sweet spot for them. Could, they really shuffle around in those regions to get, a guy you really have targeted at receiver, to get one of those day two defensive tackles, which is a thinner group, to get a corner, and, they could use a day two running back, a day two tight end. They could really go in a lot of different directions. So the kind of the round 2 to 5 range could be a sweet spot for them.
Charlie Goldsmith covers the Cincinnati Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Last thing for you, Charlie, you mentioned running back Zach Moss in, Joe Mixon out to Houston, where they've redone their whole team, and they made the playoffs last year. The running back room looks how right now heading into that trip?
Committee between Zach Moss and Chase Brown, and a classic, not that they're the best Thunder and Lightning duo we've ever seen, but a classic Thunder and Lightning dynamic. Moss, a very gritty, crafty, strong runner who they're really going to ask to be efficient, you know, get 4 yards on first and 10, pass protect on third downs and make some plays out of the backfield, you know, on shorter receptions as well. And then Chase Brown literally posted the second best, you know, pure sprint speed on a carry of any player in football last year. He can be a bit hit or miss, but he can break off 10, 15-yard runs. You know, he can break off 20 to 40-yard runs and gave them that added speed dynamic that they didn't have. So he'll be more of an under-center back, Zach Moss more of a shotgun back, and they'll adjust based on matchups.
Charlie, as we said, April 22nd, on paper, most talented team in the division is who?
Most talented team at the division at every position but quarterback is the Cleveland Browns. Mm. I can't get there with Deshaun Watson. I love everything else about the Browns roster except for quarterback. So because of that, because of the moving pieces, basically just about every position for the Ravens, running back, receiver, offensive line, still a huge question mark for Baltimore, all the changes in the secondary and some aging in the secondary. I would take the Bengals to win the division right now over the Ravens. Unless, you know, the Deshaun Watson, which I'm not expecting, but the Deshaun Watson breakout continues to be the X factor because of how good that Cleveland roster is.
Well, luckily they don't play on April 22nd. They play in September. Charlie Goldsmith, Cincinnati Inquirer. Charlie, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you after that, and then we could judge a little bit more there.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
All right, Charlie Goldsmith, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2. And then the Orioles are in Anaheim, taking on the Angels. Baltimore baseball tonight at 6. Me and Ryan Ripken. We're brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts.
Until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haney.
Better grab an umbrella.
105.7 The Fan.
Michael Jackson, right? When the word is on your shoulder. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. Girl, it's Monday. Inside Access coming up here in a couple of minutes. Taking you to 6. They'll talk about the weekend that was in the world of sports and the week that will be, which includes the NFL draft on Thursday. Jonas Schaefer's joining us for an hour on Thursday.
That'll be good.
From the Baltimore Banner. Do a little AFC North mock.
Yep.
Because there's only so much mocking you can do
in an
hour.
We're about mocked out.
Yeah. But either way, Ravens have the 30th pick. If they're inclined to move, it would probably be out.
Yeah, it'd be back to the second. It could. Bob, like if there's not a tackle, one of two things. There's not a tackle or safety or tackle or corner that's there. Or there's a bunch of tackles and corners that are there that if they traded back 5 or 6 or 7 spots and pick up a third-round pick, they could still get one of their guys.
Orioles tonight in Anaheim taking on the Angels. 9:38 first pitch. Albert Suarez making a second start for the Orioles, taking on Reed Detmers, who already owns a win against Baltimore. Grayson Rodriguez, as Brandon Hyde explained after the game yesterday, pushed him up till tomorrow, gives him an extra day, and probably lines him up most likely, perhaps, for the Yankees when they come to town for a four-game series.
If you're a betting man, Bob, what are you expecting from Suarez tonight?
Not what he did
right
last week. As long as they win, Vinny, I don't get into projections like that. I just hope he gives them a quality start and can stem the tide in that rotation until the guys get healthy. Kyle Bradish pitched yesterday for Norfolk. Did not go well for him. Is he got lit up just a little bit, just like Devin Haney did up at Barclays Center on Saturday as Ryan Garcia lit him up to the tune of 3 knockdowns, rocked him a couple of more as he wins that fight, takes the O away, doesn't win a belt because he was overweight, drinking beer at the weigh-in. Hey, I didn't like him before. Now I love him. He's my favorite fighter. You got to do what you got to do. And Haney, you know, he'll bounce back. Talented guy. But he got chin checked. And some guys, once they get that for the first time, never seem to recover. Mike Tyson, Donald Curry come to mind of guys who got knocked out and were never the same after that happened to them. But we shall see. NBA playoffs tonight. Orlando at Cleveland. Philly at New York, Lakers at Denver. Stanley Cup playoffs are captured back on the ice tomorrow after getting it handed to them by the number one seeded New York Rangers.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough series. Yeah, I mean, you're the last seed and you're playing a number one seed, and if the number one seed plays like the number one seed, you're going to be in trouble. And I think all the warts that the Caps have kind of showed up last night.
It's 58 Haiti 1057 The Fan. Nolan, you ready to get out of here? Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with a question here. Texter wants to know, how many of these, quote, first-round quarterbacks, at least projected first-round guys, are actually legit versus how many would be a reach of a pick? History says not many are actually legit. And specifically, what is the ceiling for Caleb Williams?
I think Caleb Williams' ceiling is extremely high. If he is a face of a franchise in all aspects, like all his off-the-field, everything checks out, I think he's got a tremendous ceiling. Now, with those six quarterbacks, I mean, odds are, two of them are real good?
I mean, look at recent draft class, vintage 2018, the Lamar class, Josh Allen, Lamar, first round picks we're talking about, bingo. Josh Rosen's out of league.
Yeah.
Darnold's on, what, his fourth team?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he's now with Minnesota. Who else we got? Baker Mayfield's bounced around. It seems he's found a home in Tampa, then go back to 2021. Zach Wilson's on the outs. Mac Jones and Justin Fields are already on different teams.
And then our boy that was in San Francisco.
Oh, Trey Lance?
Yeah, third pick.
Third string maybe in Dallas. And, you know, we'll see if Trevor Lawrence pans out to be the next great
thing.
Could you
imagine, Bob? I mean, what it would do to these franchise, if none of them were good, just think of that, and they went in the top four.
Run it
picks.
Back next year, be in the same spot next
sure.
year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Jets, what do they have in common? They took Darnold with three, Wilson with two, and they got a 39-year-old starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Another one here, texter chiming in says Jaden Daniels is in fact the best quarterback in this year's draft. Played against much tougher competition. Meanwhile, Williams too much of a prima donna. And played against weaker defenses.
Well, he's played against good teams over his 3 years. You know, I mean, he basically played the same ones that Jaden Daniels played at for 3 years out of Arizona State. But Jaden Daniels also has had the best receivers of any of the quarterbacks, too. So, I mean, they both have had their pluses and minuses.
Going over to the Orioles here, this one from Neil says, all Jackson Holiday needs at this point is a bunt single up the third base line. You got to try anything at this point. Why not a bunt?
Get him off the schneid. Just something. He's probably not going to be in the lineup tonight, by the way, against Detmers. I wouldn't be surprised if Arias gets the start because I think he's kind of earned it. You know, pinch hit. I'll drive in a run. Did it again yesterday. Gold Glover defensively. But it'll come sooner or later. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball or I'd bet money on when he get his next hit.
Yeah, Arias heard you talking last week saying, where are you at?
Yeah.
Where's Arias?
Yeah, here I am. Tell Haney I'm here.
Yeah, right. I watched you.
That's
his exact
quote when he was standing on first base.
He goes, where's Haney? Yeah. Not the one on the canvas in Barclays Center, the other one.
And one last one here from Steve in Baltimore says, if there isn't a contract extension for Rutschman, Henderson, or another key young piece by the end of the season, does that worry you for the future?
No. There's plenty of time to get things done. I'm not worried about that at all. I mean, Corbin Burns, it'd be nice to maybe approach him about sticking around long-term, probably a long shot to make it happen. But if it's not done by the end of the year,
Absolutely not. I'm not worried about that. Are you, Nolan?
Well, in-season deals are a rarity as is. I think you're most likely getting that done in the offseason. But sure. We'll say before next year starts, I'd like to see one. I agree with the texter. Give us one. Give us something. We're fully into the new ownership era. If we go the full offseason without in-house spending or exterior spending.
I thought you said you didn't care about 2030.
Is next year 2030?
No, so why would you be concerned?
Just said I'd be a slight concern if they didn't spend any money after we have a new ownership group.
Right, well, we'll see how it goes. Let it all play out. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Turn it up Tuesday. More draft talk. Hopefully talking about the Orioles winning the opener against the Angels. Also talking about the postseason in both the NBA and the NHL and anything else that takes place. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken coming up at 6 o'clock. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Annie. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.